Hello and welcome to Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And in this Word Magazine, number 141, I'm going to be offering a resource for those who are interested in the confessional text. This is a follow-up to some comments that I made in Word Magazine 140, which was a response to the which TR objection. And I made note then to a document that had been called to my attention by Pastor Jonathan Arnold from Westminster Baptist Church in the UK. And he also works with the Trinitarian Bible Society. And he had called attention with regard to the which TR question to the way that this is addressed in the Trinitarian Bible Society statement of doctrine of Holy Scripture. And this can be accessed at tbsbibles.org if you do some searching for it. The Trinitarian Bible Society is, of course, a Bible society that began in the UK that is committed to not only the traditional text of the Bible, the Masoretic text of the Old Testament, Hebrew Old Testament, and the received text of the Greek New Testament, but also it is dedicated to translations that are based on those traditional texts. And anyways, I think that this statement is short, fairly succinct. It makes some good points on a number of things, including as to how one can hold to the traditional text with full awareness of some minor variations in the printed editions of the Greek TR. So I'm going to go ahead and read through the statement, and I'll have a link on my blog, jeffriddle.net, to the statement if you can't find it, and you can look it up and read it for yourself. So here is the way it begins. It says, the Reformation confessions, such as the Westminster of 1647, the Savoy, 1658, and the London Baptist, 1689, state regarding Scripture that the Old Testament in Hebrew, which was the native language of the people of God of old, and the New Testament in Greek, which at the time of the writing of it was most generally known to the nations, being immediately inspired by God and by His singular care and providence kept pure in all ages, are therefore authentical. And that's from the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 1, paragraph 8. With this, the Society is in full agreement, believing that it accurately summarizes the following doctrine. Then there follow, in this statement of doctrine, there are 5 points of doctrine. And the first point of doctrine is, only the self-interpreting Holy Scripture is competent to define Scripture. The Scripture's witness to itself can be briefly summarized in the following propositions. So in this first point of doctrine, it's now going to list 7 propositions or 7 subpoints. So the first subpoint under doctrinal point 1. The Bible is God's written revelation to mankind. Proof texts cited are Exodus 24, verses 3 and 4, Psalm 119, verse 140, and Matthew 4, 4. Second of these 7 subpoints. Through the process of inspiration, which has the meaning breathed out by God, a supernatural power was exerted by the Holy Spirit upon certain chosen men, governing and directing them to write the very words of God without admixture of error. Proof text cited are 1 Corinthians 2:13, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, 2 Peter 1:21. This is not to deny that each of the biblical writers had a distinctive style and vocabulary, but it is to affirm that the divine superintendence was such that the end product, being of plenary and verbal inspiration, was the very Word of God, and as such, absolute and pure truth. Proof text cited Romans 3:2, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. Subpoint 3. The supernatural power involved in the process of inspiration and in the result of inspiration was exerted only, and only is in italic, in the original in italic, production of the 66 canonical books of the Bible. Proof text, 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, and 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. Fourth subpoint, in conformity to God's purpose, promise, and command, faithful and accurate copies were made. Deuteronomy 17:18, Proverbs 25:1. And through God's special providential care, His word has been preserved in all generations. Proof texts are Psalm 119, verse 152, Matthew 5:18, Matthew 24:35, Luke 16:17, and 1 Peter 1:25. The professing people of God under the Old and New Testaments have been the appointed custodians of His word. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20, Romans 3:2, Colossians 4:16, 1 Thessalonians 5:27. Fifth subpoint. The Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles received the preserved and standard Hebrew texts of the Old Testament as Scripture. Luke 4, verses 16 through 19, and Luke 4:21, 2 Timothy 3:16. This serves as our pattern for accepting the historically received texts of the New Testament also as Scripture. 1 Timothy 5:18, compare Luke 10:7, 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. Sixth subpoint. These texts of Scripture reflect the qualities of God-breathed Scripture, including being authentic, holy, pure, true, infallible, trustworthy, excellent, self-authenticating, necessary, sufficient, perspicuous, self-interpreting, authoritative, and inerrant. Psalm 19, verses 7 and through 9, and Psalm 119. They are consequently to be received as the Word of God. Ezra 7:14, Nehemiah 8:8, Daniel 9:2, 2 Peter 1:19. And the correct reading at any point is to be sought within these texts. Now here in subpoint 6, there are two footnotes. The first one, after the opening phrase, these texts of Scripture, and the footnote reads, the Trinitarian Bible Society maintains that the providentially preserved true and authentic text is to be found in the Hebrew Masoretic and the Greek received texts. In so doing, it follows the historic Orthodox Protestant position of acknowledging as Holy Scripture the Hebrew and Greek texts consistently accessible to and preserved among the people of God in all ages. These texts had remained in common use in different parts of the world for more than 15 centuries, and they faithfully represent the text used in New Testament times. The second note in this subpoint 6 is after the final words, noting that the correct reading at any point is to be sought within these texts. And the footnote reads, errors, omissions, and additions in particular manuscripts do not impinge upon the qualities of Scripture, including inerrancy, because the errors are, in fact, no part of inerrant Scripture. Going back now to subpoint 7 under this first head of doctrine, it reads, translations from the original languages are likewise to be considered the written Word of God insofar as these translations are accurate as to the form and content of the original. Acts 8, verses 32 and following, Acts 8, 15, verses 14 through 18, Romans 15, verses 8 through 12. Include the Old Testament quotations rendered in Greek, and yet they are still accorded the status of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, as indicated by the usage of the expressions Scripture and it is written. The variants found in these and other quotations in the New Testament have a divine warrant. And here there is a footnote 3. It reads, translations made since New Testament times must use words chosen by uninspired men to translate God's words. For this reason, no translation of the Word of God can have an absolute or definitive status. The final appeal must always be to the original languages in the traditional Hebrew and Greek texts as defined in Note 1. Continuing, subpoint 7. In order to achieve the necessary accuracy in translation, the method to be followed should be that of formal equivalence, not dynamic equivalence. The translation should best reflect both the form and the content of the original by being as literal as is possible and as free as is necessary, that is, by translating the words and following the arrangement and propositional content of the original text as much as is possible, and by being free of human invention, addition, and subtraction, except as is necessary. So those are the 7 subpoints under doctrinal point 1 of 5. And so we'll move on to doctrinal point 2. As affirmed above, the Lord Jesus endorsed the preserved and standard Old Testament of his day as Scripture. See Luke 4, verses 17 through 21. Regarding it as reliable to each particular word and incapable of being broken, loosed, or untied, because pure, uncorrupted, and therefore absolutely trustworthy. John 10, verses 34 through 36. Historically, and for many centuries, the church rightly and necessarily regarded the recognized manuscripts of the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek as the verbally inspired Word of God written, complete in the 66 canonical books. Doctrinal subpoint 3. The Constitution of the Trinitarian Bible Society specifies the textual families to be employed in the translations it circulates. The Masoretic Hebrew and the Greek received texts are the texts that the Constitution of the Trinitarian Bible Society acknowledges to have been preserved by the special providence of God within Judaism and Christianity. Therefore, these texts are definitive and the final point of reference in all the Society's work. And here there are 2 footnotes. First, for the term the Masoretic Hebrew, the note says, the Society accepts as the best edition of the Hebrew Masoretic text the one prepared in 1524 to 1525 by Jacob ben Chaim and known after David Bomberg, the publisher, as the Bomberg text. This text underlies the Old Testament in the Authorized Version. The second footnote here is for the term the Greek received text, and it reads, the Greek received text is a name given to a group of printed texts, the first of which was published by Desiderius Erasmus in 1516. The Society uses for the purposes of translation the text reconstructed by F.H.A. Scrivener in 1894. Going back now to the doctrinal points, the 4th of the 5 doctrinal points, as the scope of the Society's constitution does not extend to considering the minor variations between the printed editions of the Textus Receptus, this necessarily excludes the Society from engaging in alteration or emendation of the Hebrew Masoretic and Greek received texts on the basis of other Hebrew or Greek texts. Editorial policy and practice will observe these parameters. Doctrinal point 5. In relation to promoting and editing new translations and selecting versions in foreign languages, the Constitution of the Society states, quote, the aim shall be to produce or select versions whose textual basis is as close as possible to the Hebrew Masoretic and the Greek received texts underlying both the English Authorized Version and translations of comparable standing made from these texts into other European languages at the time of the Protestant Reformation. Editorial policy and practice will conform to this aim. And it notes that this statement was approved by the General Committee at its meeting held on 17 January of 2005, revised 25 February 2005, and including amendments approved by the General Committee at its meeting held on 21 November 2005. And then where this statement is posted at the TBS website, there is a helpful word list. And I know sometimes people are being introduced to these textual issues for the first time. There are terms thrown about, and they may not be clear about what some of these mean. And they list some 20 words and give brief definitions. And I would commend this to you just to go through the 20 words. I won't read the definitions, but the terms defined include ancient versions, the term apographs, the term autographs, the Byzantine, the Complutensian polyglot, critical texts, dynamic equivalents, eclectic, extant copies, formal equivalents, infallible slash inerrant, what is meant by those particular terms, inspired, the majority text, manuscripts, Masoretic, Old Latin, providential preservation, received text, Textus Receptus, and translation. So if you know you hear these words thrown about, you don't know what they mean, you don't know what we mean when we say the apograph, the autograph, the received text, or providential preservation, I think this provides some good definitions. And I give this as a resource. I think just that little statement, I noted it addresses the issue of how those who hold the confessional text or the received text deal with the variations in the printed editions, both of the Masoretic text of the Hebrew Bible and of the received text of the Greek New Testament. And it talks about a family or a group of printed manuscripts. And this relates to the discussion that was had in my Last Word magazine on responding to the which TR objection. But it also addresses something that comes up often, and that is sometimes people say, well, what about the places in the New Testament where the Septuagint is quoted by the apostles or the apostolic writers? It addresses that issue that just by virtue of the fact that there's sometimes Septuagintal quotings in the New Testament doesn't negate the fact that the Hebrew Bible was and is the standard, proper standard of the divine original of the Old Testament. And it addresses a number of other interesting things. It addresses the whole issue of translations. And, you know, for those who will say that the confessional text position is essentially just KJV only-ism, they need to go back and consider what was stated here, where it says, for this reason, no translation of the Word of God can have an absolute or definitive status. And so if you accuse someone who holds the confessional text of thinking that any translation of the Bible is specially inspired, then you're mischaracterizing this position. You're mischaracterizing the official statement of doctrine of Holy Scripture that is put forward by the Trinitarian Bible Society. So anyways, I know this is a little bit briefer Word Magazine. Nevertheless, I hope that it will prove helpful to those who are interested in this topic. And I hope this will serve as a resource for those who, again, are interested in these matters. Hope this has been profitable, and I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next Word Magazine. Till then, take care and God bless.